Making chicken salad this week is brought to you by Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy. Are you in Brisbane and thought about learning to be a wrestler? Well, here's your chance. Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy are based out of Beenleigh in Queensland, and they're committed to teaching the best, safest way to learn the art of professional wrestling. Hit up their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email admin@threecountfitness.com now to register your interest. And we thank them so much for supporting the show.
Here I was blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Welcome to Wrestle Radio Australia presents Making Chicken Salad, the show where we talk about all the goings on in international wrestling, whether that be AEW, WWE, or any of those international promotions. I am a very stable top rope, Lachlan Albert, and I'm joined, as always, by a cameraman with a knife, Todd Eastman. Todd, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. That's quite creative.
Yeah, thank you. Thought I'd get a pop from you there. Look, let's go straight into it. There's been a lot happening. We did an episode last week, but the wrestling world does not stop. So might as well go alphabetical and start with AEW. There is a new TNT champion. Miro has lost the TNT championship to Sammy Guevara, who will reportedly face Bobby Fish next week. What do you think of this result?
I love Sammy Guevara. I'm great. I'm happy that they're going in that. Remember, we've been talking about it seemed like they were afraid to give these young guys like a bit of a run.
And my prediction was that Miro would retain because he's seen as, you know, a stable hand to hold that title. So it is really exciting to see, you know, a new kid, an AEW original as it is, you know, get that push.
Yeah, like I liked it. I just think maybe they could have done a little bit more to lead up to it. Sorry about that. To lead up to that, because it felt very. I know I don't want to say the word hotshot because I'll have 1,000 people jump down my throat going, "No, that's what WWE do." But it felt almost a little hotshot. I know they're going to say, "Oh no," because they did all this lead up with, like, what's his name? His
mate.
Yeah, they did all the hot. So basically, Miro just got all his heat on someone else, and then Sammy swoops in to save the day, sort of deal. Which I don't know if that's the best like arc of storytelling. It's not really a babyface coming from under. It's a guy. It's a little guy as well. Because let's face it, Sammy's not a monster. It's a little guy just protecting an even littler guy.
Yeah. That's right. Look, part of me wants to say that I feel like a title should be able to change hands with very little build because it's an athletic contest. It's not something where the story has to pay off to change hands. But it felt like if they wanted to make it a sudden change, it wasn't sudden enough. And if they wanted to build a story, it wasn't enough of a story. It's, you know, the opposite of Goldilocks. If it had gone one way or the other, I would have been fine, but right in the middle just doesn't work for me. I feel like there also wasn't a build there. So I'm wondering why Guevara has been given this title. Part of me says, well, it's Spanish Heritage Month, so maybe it's the time to put a title on someone with Spanish heritage. Part of me thinks we need it on a babyface so that a heel can take it off him, whether that's Bobby Fish debuting as a heel, whether it's Cody Rhodes really making that heel transition. You know, why do they want the title on a babyface all of a sudden? But, you know, I'm happy for Sammy. I think he's a great talent. I think he does really good work. He's, you know, young and a little bit dumb, and that comes through sometimes. But, you know, I think he's good in the ring, and that's what really matters.
You know what I found interesting, though? Like, he won the title and all these people flooded the ring. Wasn't that many Inner Circle guys there, was there?
No.
Like, I just seemed to notice. I saw in, like, cuts after they went off the air, I think Santana or Ortiz were in the ring. But you would think if they're stable mates, if they're good mates,
they should be.
They'd be in there before bloody Dark Order anyway, you'd think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know,
also,
you know, Dark Order are the good guys. You want to make him look like a good guy, you get Dark Order in there.
Also, to like we talked about Bobby Fish being set up for next week. That was done literally like Bobby tweeted that he wanted the first shot. They did an interview during Roads to the Top, during an ad break of Roads to the Top with Tony and Sammy Guevara. And then they got interrupted by Men of the Year as well in that. So they're running angles through Roads to the Top. And I don't know how many AEW fans would watch Roads to the Top. I mean, there wasn't that many by when you looked at what the
numbers were.
That's punishment. I had to watch it just because I was curious to see how much of a train wreck this was going to be.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's, and we'll talk more about Roads to the Top a little bit later in the show, because it just sounds like a terrible idea to be putting your storylines in a show that's made for a totally different audience, because it feels like it's for that Total Bellas audience.
Yeah, yeah. Not even in, like, during an ad break of the show. That's not even... It's not like they said, like, as they were going off the air. If they were going off the air on Dynamite, and maybe they did and I missed it, Tony Schiavone's going to catch up with the new champion, Sammy Guevara, during an ad break of Roads to the Top. Make sure you watch it. That's a different thing. That's like, obviously, they're trying to shoot the people towards that. But I don't recall them doing that. I don't recall that at all. I might be wrong. And if I am, I apologize. But I don't recall them saying that at all.
Neither do I. So, yeah, seems like that's come a little bit out of nowhere. So maybe it's just something that Bobby Fish has said and they've found a place to cram it in.
Yeah, but great that Sammy is the champion. He's one of the young guys that they need to be doing that sort of stuff with, giving him a chance to see what he can do with this run. So good luck and congratulations to him. I'm an actual real fan of his work.
Not on our list, but while we're talking about young guys, did you watch the match between Jungle Boy and Adam Cole this week?
Yes, I did.
I thought fantastic heel performance by Cole, letting Jungle Boy get, you know, some clean shots in on him, take control of the wrestling match early, and then Cole winning basically off a low blow. Makes sense to me, pushes both the guys as strong competitors. I think it was a really good match. Do you share those feelings?
Yeah, it was a great match. The opening match of Dynamites are usually really good matches, and they keep that trend going.
I was really happy to see, you know, Jungle Boy in that match in the opening of Dynamite, because it means that they are putting that trust in him, and I think that's fantastic. Let's talk about Owen Hart. So Martha Hart has come to an agreement with AEW to put a lot of the rights of Owen Hart's image in the hands of AEW. Part of that is we're going to have an Owen Hart Cup. AEW will be able to produce Owen Hart merchandise, and Owen Hart appears to be included in the upcoming AEW video game. I think this is really fantastic for the legacy of Owen. He's a guy who basically nobody has a bad word to say about. Everyone talks about how he was one of the greats and also a really nice guy. And we know that Martha Hart has not trusted WWE with his legacy. She is going to trust AEW with his legacy. I think that AEW may in a couple of years not look like the company it does today. It may look a lot more like WWE in terms of how we trust images with them. But I think at this point, I'm just happy to see Owen Hart's name, you know, used for good. Seeing Owen Hart in games, seeing Owen Hart action figures, that type of thing is just going to make me happy. What's your feeling, Todd?
I completely agree. Like, I know that, well, from other sorts of sources and sites that I've read, that originally they wanted to name the tournament the King of Hearts tournament, but that was actually still owned by the WWE. That trademark was still owned, so it's just going to be the Owen Hart Cup, basically going to be like a ring of the King of the Ring type tournament. So then that's cool, because that's what he was, that's the King of Hearts gimmick was something he really ran with. And yeah, but I like the fact that fans get a chance to, like, honor Owen, whether it's through, like, I completely understand that Martha would not want WWE to profit off it, especially since she still blames them for his passing, which is completely a reasonable thing for her to feel. And I know that especially after watching the Dark Side of the Ring, you knew that nothing was ever going to happen with with her and WWE.
So
it's just good to see that he's going to get honored, I guess is the best way
definitely.
To say it. And I just hope that they do a better face scan than what they did for the original AEW figures, because those were horrendous.
Atrocious, yeah. And like for me, I think it's also a big thing, you know, Owen Hart passed when I was 4, you know, so for wrestling fans that are around my age, you know, I have to go back if I want to watch Owen Hart, because he is definitely before my time. And I think
way to age me, Jesus.
Yeah, sorry, mate. You know, I think that there's a lot of younger fans who are going to discover a really great wrestler through, you know, and like even if they're going back and watching Blue Blazer stuff, you know, he was really fantastic and always put in good work. So I think that's a good thing.
I remember watching when that card that he passed on. I remember because that was when we weren't getting pay-per-views straight away from America. Like it would take back in the day, kids. It would literally, you would watch. We would watch SummerSlam in our summer. So that's how long it would take for.
You're telling me you couldn't stream it online as it happened?
No, there was no one. Nobody was on the line, sir. It was literally tape traded. So I used to get them, like, I think it was about maybe a month after, because I was a tape trader. And I had I don't know if I still have it. It might be at mum somewhere. I had the original VHS copy of Over the Edge, where you actually start to see him and then it cuts away really quickly. And I remember not, because I might have known about it, but I didn't think they'd actually show it. And then when you saw it, I was like, holy hell, you know what I mean? One of those sort of deals. But it just ages me, because when you say you were 4, I'm like, Jesus, I was already working and tape trading. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I was just a little tagger. All right, moving on with more AEW news. We've got a report from Body Slam from Cassidy Haynes talking about the Bucks, Omega, and Cody and their position within AEW, saying that all of the creative has been taken by Tony Khan as president, CEO, general manager, and head of creative. He's taking on all of the creative roles. Those EVPs, we've heard that the only EVP to regularly attend the office meetings was Cody Rhodes, but even his input in creative has been greatly diminished. We've heard that Matt Jackson's role was to help his wife Dana with merchandise. Nick Jackson's focused on handling being the elite. Omega's very hands-on with the AEW games division and is still helping put together matches for the women's division. But they've been called EVPs in name only in 2021. And that Khan's pulled back the reins and took that power away. Earlier this month, Tony Khan spoke with the Associated Press, commented on how he believes AEW's gotten stronger as he takes more of the workload. As well as this, a bit on that other angle, there's a source that stressed that Cody Rhodes doesn't really have as much of a relationship with the Bucks or Omega these days. Omega and the Bucks remain good friends, but Cody's on the outside looking in. So lots of different things going on here. What are you thinking about this story, Todd?
I'm thinking that we are starting to see the stories come out. Do you know what I mean? Like there was always like we're all in together and we're all a team and people sort of in the know is like, well, it's not really like that there, but it's just all kept very hush hush. It would not surprise me if these guys were arguing to the point where Tony Khan's gone, just fuck it, I'm going to run it now. I'm sick of hearing like Cody, I want Bucks and I want this and I'm just going to do it. That's it. That's it. I'm sorry. This can't be happening. I don't know if that's the case. I'm just spitballing an idea with that. But yeah, you can see too. And it's weird. Like when I read this report saying that Omega is books and go, well, it doesn't book, but heavily involved in going through all the girls matches when watching, for as an example, watching Road to the Top yesterday when I watched it, it looked like it was Dustin that was doing a lot of the work of the girls.
Well, so that's what we've heard as well, that Dustin's heavily involved with What my understanding is that Dustin's really heavily involved in training the women, and then Omega is helping them in kind of a producer role for the women's matches.
Fair enough.
Again, don't know how true that is, but that's the reports that I've been hearing. And I mean, that would make sense to me in terms of, you know, Omega knows how to put together a match and Dustin's managed to stay in ring shape at his age. So I think those are great roles for them. If that's what they do.
I would like to know if, like they said that here, that Tony Khan's taken over everything. I'd like to hope that he's got a couple of people with him, like helping.
Yeah.
Like even as much shit as we give Vince, he always had a Bruce, Pat Patterson, Jerry Briscoe, those old wrestling heads, like to help pitch ideas. I would like to hope that he's got that somehow.
And like when it comes to Vince, you can say that, you know, he always had those people to guide him. But even then, you know, the guy had been in the business sitting there ringside for decades, you know, whereas.
That's okay though, because Tony's read The Observer for ages, so that's...
That's true, you know.
That's, if you ask certain people, that means that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. You listen to Meltzer, that means you can run around.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, let's switch our focus to WWE, because there was a pay-per-view just past WWE Extreme Rules. I've just written in here, no titles changed hands. I think that's a really... really the headline here. So let's talk about the Universal Championship match, which was Roman Reigns versus the Demon, Finn Balor. This is the match that I was joking about at the top of the show. It was a really good match. And towards the end, we got a little bit of the supernatural nonsense. The Demon's heartbeat, there was a big red light, heartbeat came over the speakers. Finn did this ridiculous flopping his arms in time with the heartbeat thing. And then the swell of the music revived the Demon. He took out the Usos, threw Roman into the ring, went to the top rope, ready to hit the coup de grace. And then the top rope collapsed and he fell down and Roman hit a spear and retained. We've had some footage come out, some fan footage where we've seen a cameraman, quote unquote, cameraman, on the apron as Finn's climbed up. Then the top rope collapses. The cameraman gets down very quickly and appears to have a knife in his hand. So that seems to be definitely a planned spot with someone there organizing that top rope collapsing. What do you think of this finish, Todd?
Look, I'll be honest with you, on a wrestling standpoint, they got me, because for a second I thought, shit, they're going to put the belt on Finn. When the way he fired up, hit all that stuff, threw Roman in the ring, there was a second there I'm like, holy shit, they're going to do it. And then the thing that annoys me is that they haven't, like, it's an obvious something's happened, right? This rope snapped. They addressed it on the night. They did not address it at all at SmackDown. Finn wasn't at SmackDown. And they haven't made, like, why wouldn't you make that into a storyline? Like, say, another wrestler has cut that rope so Finn can go off and feud with this other guy. But Finn wasn't on the show, and they never really talked about it at all. It was sort of like a non-factor that it just happened and thing won. That's the problem I had with it. The match overall was good, I thought.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really good match until the finish, which just absolutely deflated me. When that rope went down, it felt dumb. You know what I mean? Especially when, and you're exactly right, I thought that they were going to put it on Finn. I thought it was going to be an awesome, really high energy finish. You know, he's had the Universal title before. I was really excited to, you know, see them give that back to him. But then, and you're absolutely right, there's so many stories that could be told here. It could even be that, you know, Heyman paid someone to loosen the top rope, knowing that Finn would want to use the coup de grace and that Roman would not go to the top rope. So it only benefits Roman if the top rope is loose and damaged. So someone's going to get in there and damage it beforehand. That would work. That's a storyline. But, you know, the rope collapsed. Lucky Reigns. Anyway, let's not talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you do something like have Sami Zayn have done it?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Finn and Sami can go off and feud, because that would be great matches.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just that for me, that's unless they plan on doing it in a week or two, and maybe because the draft was this week, there's like, look, we've got so much shit going on. Let's not throw another thing into it. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, in the coming weeks. But it was a shame to me that they weren't addressed. It wasn't addressed in some way, shape, or form.
No, that's definitely. All. Now, I had written down that we could speak about the draft, but here's my feeling on the draft. People in WWE are on some shows, and we'll see how that goes. Do you have anything else? Anything?
Fucking stupid that they moved New Day to SmackDown and then Big E to Raw. Like, literally just had a reunion. Awesome, these guys are back together. It's going to be so much fun. We got so much good shit where you can put... That's a good shit. Where you could put, like, the Hurt Business, that's because they're back now. The Hurt Business back together with Lashley. You can have, like, six-man matches leading into thing. Plus, you got the tags with the New Day and just, like, Shelton and... what's his name?
MVP?
No. Lashley? No, the young guy. Cedric.
Cedric Alexander. Cedric. Yep.
Yeah, you've got those where you can have tag matches with those guys. It's a whole thing that they could have been nicely self-contained, especially with Drew moving to SmackDown now. So, you know, that sort of like kills what Big E was, because it looked like Big E and Drew were going to be working together at the end of that Raw. Now that's changed as well. I like the fact that they brought Hit Row up to...
That was definitely my highlight. I have been a fan of Isaiah Swerve Scott for, you know, as long as we can talk about, you know, I'm a massive Lucha Underground mark, and his work as Killshot was phenomenal. If you haven't seen the Hell of War match, if you are interested in brutal matches, go watch that match. Wow, that guy can work. And I think that putting him with some younger people in Hit Row and moving them up to the main roster, I think they're going to do awesome work. I think they're exactly the kind of act that works on the main roster.
Mm. It might have been a bit premature with what they were doing in NXT, but let's face it, NXT is just developmental now, so they're not worried about that so much. Austin Theory to Raw, that should be interesting. I hope he dumps the whole, like, dumb guy gimmick for it. I hope that's he just comes back as all-day Austin Theory, who was in Evolve and all of that sort of stuff, because that was a really good gimmick, and he was a really good character. He's a really good worker when they allow him to work. So that's that. What do you think of because there was some a lot of consternation, a lot of complaining about Bearcat Lee. What do you think now you've seen the presentation of him on Raw?
Now that we are presenting it as, you know, this idea of this is a nickname that has historical standing, this is something that matters, and it's been put on Keith Lee because he is carrying forward that story of Black excellence, I think it's fantastic. I'm really happy with the presentation. I know that there are a lot of people who are not, but I think it's really cool.
And also, if you'd have watched... Well, if you watched Raw Talk at all, because I watched it because I saw he was going to be on it. So I thought, I want to see what they're doing with him. If he's just going to be the normal, it's going to be the normal Keith Lee promo, and he's just like Bearcat's nickname, or if it's a change. It's a complete change of character. He's a man of very few words now, and the words he says, I was speaking English properly, has conviction to them. Like the interview, I can't remember what the question he asked, but he just went, this question went for about 10, 15 seconds, and Keith just goes, no. And like, you know what I mean? And then when he does say something, he says like, everybody has to be wary because I am, you know what I mean? It was such a different, like a departure from, and I know people like the whole bask in my glory sort of deal, but this is that serious, angry, Mark Henry Hall of Pain type heel. Which I know Vince likes to do, so it could be very good for him.
Yeah, and speaking of, I brought up some stuff from that interview. He finished it by deciding that the interviewer didn't have any questions left and taking the microphone from him. Like, that's an awesome, very cool attitude. He has got a a real take no shit attitude with this Bearcat gimmick. I think it's going to be really cool, and I'm excited for him to, you know, look strong. And you know, that term is bandied around a lot, but I think that Keith Lee is a guy who does amazing work. I don't think you can find a bad Keith Lee match. And I think that if they are giving, because that was kind of my concern when he went up the first time, was that he went up without a gimmick. His gimmick was, he's Keith Lee, he's very good.
And yeah,
when we have seen people show up with the gimmick of, this guy's very good, it tends to not go anywhere. Sami Zayn is a perfect example of a guy who is very good, and that was his gimmick. Finn Balor, when he doesn't have the demon, is very good, and that's his gimmick. And these characters don't go anywhere. So when someone actually gets a character, it seems like that's when Vince gets interested. So hopefully that can give him a bit of a push forward. So
I have noticed though, right? We talk about how, like, they botched Karrion Kross's debut. They botched Lee's debut. You have a look at both of them now, and they're both squashing people almost weekly or semi-weekly on Raw. So sure, it's starting to
still looks like an extra from Mad Max 2.
Like, yeah, he does. But I mean, they're still starting to go somewhere, and eventually people will just ignore that shit.
I disagree there, Todd, because you could say the same thing when the Ascension came up at first. They spent weeks squashing people, right? And then they ended up being the Ascension.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair call.
I think that, you know, we all think that creative in WWE is very quick to change things, but I think that they do have a sense of you need to give things a little bit of time. And I think when someone comes up, they do tend to give them at least a little bit of time, even if it's, pardon me, not working.
But also, please do not group the Ascension with Karrion Kross and Keith Lee as workers, because they are very different animals. For the mere fact that as soon as I don't recall seeing Ascension being picked up by an Impact or a Ring of Honor or they're currently working like the same shows that I would work if I was in America at the moment. So yeah.
I've got one member of the Ascension keeps popping up on my Facebook trying to sell me goji berry gummies to revitalize me. Definitely not the strongest in-ring competitors in the world.
Well, the Ascension that isn't in the Ascension anymore has a better career than him in NWA.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, let's go back to some of the other things that happened at Extreme Rules, because there was a bit of a big result in the Women's Championship match, which ended in a no contest as a result of a returning Sasha Banks. So this is really interesting to me because of the fact that Becky came back because of Sasha not appearing at the last pay-per-view. And now Becky has retained the title against Bianca Belair because Sasha is back. It looks like they're building towards a triple threat that I would hope Bianca Belair gets the win in, but I feel like WWE is too set on keeping that title on Becky or having Sasha as the heel to take it away from her. What do you think, Todd? Well,
Bianca might win it for the mere fact that she got drafted to Raw and Charlotte is now on SmackDown.
SmackDown.
Which means that, like, one of those championships has to go over to Raw. So that could be something that says maybe she might get the win and then go off to Raw. But, I mean, that end of that SmackDown, I don't know if you saw yesterday's SmackDown, it was basically Charlotte and Becky with the two belts, like, looking at each other with their belts up in the air after the other two had been sort of taken out of the picture. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, that... Like, if you get a chance, watch the end of that match, because it was Bianca and Sasha. And after the match, as soon as the bell rang, all you see is like a close-up. I think it was Bianca's face. It was Sasha's face. And then this high heel boot. Like, Charlotte came through. You know those boots that Charlotte wears?
Yeah, with the big platform on them.
She came through and like high-kicked both of those girls with that. I was like, I don't know how you work that and it not kill. And I don't know how she did it without breaking an ankle, especially in a ring, because they are the most stable things to run on.
No, No, so I will be watching that. Speaking of the Raw Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair, she defeated Alexa Bliss at Extreme Rules and tore apart, I can't even remember the doll's name at this
point. Lily.
Lily, thank you. Tore Lily to shreds. I'm hoping that this sees the Alexa Bliss character chilled out a little bit and we see a reduction in the amount of spooky nonsense that we get and we can go back to having Alexa Bliss the good worker.
Well, apparently Alexa's taking some time off. So that was probably the way to get her out of the picture for a little bit. That's the funny thing too, like, I noticed the other day, well, not the other day, I heard it the other day, and I thought, oh, that's, in the past 2 weeks, Shayna Baszler has taken out Eva Marie and Nia Jax, two of the people that people complain about most when you talk about women, the women's division in WWE. So, I mean, like, Shayna Baszler.
I can't say enough good things about Shayna. I think she's absolutely fantastic.
I like that they're finally going with this with her.
Yeah, so disappointed when, was it, you know, the no fans WrestleMania where they didn't put the belt on her in that Becky Lynch feud when it feels like it was her time. Like, I know Becky was still huge at that point, but it really did feel like time to give Shayna a push and they just didn't.
They started with that Elimination Chamber when she literally eliminated everybody.
The whole
chamber. You're like, yeah, you're like, oh, holy shit, okay, they're putting real rocket behind her, and then just it was up and down like a bloody dynamite rating. That'll get me some hate.
You notice I didn't say anything after you said it. I just wanted to let that one sit, take myself away from it. And then
I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Damian Priest retaining his United States Championship at Extreme Rules against Sheamus and Jeff Hardy. Good match.
That was probably match of the show.
Yeah, Sheamus. I like Sheamus a little more every time I see him. I remember having zero feelings about Sheamus, and now every time he gets in the ring, I'm a little happier that he's there.
I like watching Sheamus because it just looks like every match is a fight.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it's supposed to be. Like, they had a match on Raw the next night, Damian Priest and Sheamus, and it was a flat-out fight. It was a really good match. And Sheamus has done everything he possibly can do to help get this kid over, and it's worked wonders with Damian Priest. Like, my hat's off to Sheamus for the amount of work he does in that sort of area where he helps bringing guys up. And now Jeff Hardy's going to be out of that picture.
He likes to fight.
That's the only other thing. Like, the only thing I don't like about that character is that he wears tights to the ring. Like, he's got that cool getup where he wears the white and just wear that to the ring and fight. You're a fighter. Just wear it to the ring and fight. Don't stop wearing the old gimmick that you've been wearing for years. That's a change up for me. And normally I don't like that shit. Like, normally I like guys to be wearing gear. But in a gimmick like that, you could get away with just wearing those brown pants he wears and the singlet top. That sort of stuff, that can work for him. But, yeah, Jeff Hardy is now at SmackDown, so they won't be intertwined at all in that, which could be good for Jeff. It could be a little life of breath into him. And
I would like Jeff to go home and have a rest, just personally, but... You know,
you haven't watched SmackDown, have you, at all?
I haven't, no.
Oh, because they did, like, Seth broke into Edge's house.
I saw that Seth broke into Edge's house. So one of the things that I've heard about this is that Edge was on the phone talking about how he's going to get two guys to go over and check on the house. And two guys with those real names who live in Edge's neighborhood are The Revival. Or FTR. Mm. So I thought that's a
really... And they both tweeted about it too. They've got like Dax tweeted, I'm going to kick his little ass. And then Cash put on the gif of them getting out of the car at Daly's player. You know, the pickup?
Yeah, yeah.
He put that up as well. So literally AEW guys are promoting a WWE storyline.
But that just shows you that those guys care about wrestling and that they're friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I
but Do you know what I love about that promo? Because I was watching it with my wife, and she literally just goes, "What a jerk!" And I'm like, yeah. "Yes,
yeah,"
because that's what he's supposed to be. Like, he said stuff about Edge's kids. My wife was like, "Ooh," you know what I mean? So I was like, "That's working for me." For a non-wrestling fan to get involved in it, that's working.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I wonder if this is a storyline that WWE kind of has on the, how many years has it been since we used that? Okay, we can use it again.
Yeah.
Because I saw a lot of people tweeting, "Oh, Wendy," you know, because Samoa Joe did the same thing not all that long ago. You think back, Triple H did it a little bit before that. And then you go, there's plenty of home invasion stuff that WWE likes to do. Didn't Ambrose do a bit of home invasion as well? Like, it's something that WWE...
He was just found sleeping in someone's home.
Yeah. It's something that WWE likes to go back to. And I think that the bit that is important is the person whose home it is, their reaction. That's what makes it feel important, right?
Mm.
Obviously, the person doing the home invasion, quote unquote, needs to sell it and make it feel personal. But the person who is on the receiving end of it, like in the AJ Styles storyline, it didn't work for me because Styles didn't feel invested in it. Edge feels freaked out and worried and angry and calling people to check on his. And that feels real to me. It feels like something that I can get invested in.
The funniest thing is, like, listening to the crowd is like, they didn't pop for some stuff. The biggest pop that they got, the biggest boo they got, is when he drank orange juice out of the thing without getting a glass. That seemed to be the thing that got the crowd the most angry.
Fantastic. All right, let's quickly go through the rest of the card. We had SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, retain their titles against the Street Profits in a good match. We had the New Day defeat AJ Omos and Bobby Lashley in a 6-man tag match.
Again, that was made on the day too. So that wasn't even promoted. That was made during the pre-show. So,
and the fact that a match made during the pre-show can have that much talent in it and then be a passable match. I mean, I would have rather see Big E and Lashley one-on-one, but It feels like if they're going to throw these matches together, they should have a 6-man championship, or at least a 6-man division of some sort. You know what I mean?
Well, I suppose it was nice because they were going to do it the next night on Raw. So that, and during the thing, and it's something that, like, I complained about when I talked about AEW. So I'll complain about it when I talk about it here as well. They promoted that match for Raw on the pay-per-view, like Big E cut the promo again, something I'd never seen before. It's good. Like, I really liked the promo. It was the first time I'd seen Big E be like angry. Big E be like, this is the Big E I want as a champion. Somebody who's not going to take any shit, like, bring it on. You're not laughing. You're not like, there's a time to do that. And then there's a time to be serious. And I really like the fact that he did it. I still think I've never seen it before where they promote the TV show on the pay-per-view.
Look, I'll play devil's advocate for a second. When AEW did it, it felt like they were promoting the TV show because it was the biggest show. This situation in WWE, it feels like, and again, I'm all about what's going on in the kayfabe. In universe here, Big E is defending his title. That is important. He is going to talk about it, no matter when it's happening. If he was defending it out the back of out the back of McDonald's at 3 a.m., he'd be talking about it on the pay-per-view. Right, so I get that. Whereas when AEW is like, you know, throwing up ads for their entire upcoming show on a pay-per-view, that doesn't work as well for me, you know. Right. Where it's like, look at these people debuting, better watch them on TV. Whereas when there's a title match to build, no matter where that title match is happening, you build it. But you know, I do agree that it's interesting to see the transition of where these companies are caring about their viewership moving to the TV ratings, which is really interesting to me.
I just thought I should do it. If I did it for AEW, I should do it for WWE, because I don't, as much as people think I'm biased, I'm not. I will shit on both if they're bad, and I'll praise both if they're good. And it was just something I saw. I was like, oh yeah, it's something I complained about with when AEW did it. I should possibly say they probably I've never seen that before with WWE. So there we go.
To me, it's kind of wild that, and this is, you know, me and my own little soapbox here. It's pretty wild that people think there's people biased against AEW when they've been around for 2 years and we've been complaining about WWE for how long? You know what I mean?
Oh, if you, the thing is, like, online, they will complain. Like, if you can complain all day about WWE and people won't say a word, and they'll be like, yeah, nah. You say one or two bad things about AEW and you're a Vince Cell, a WWE drone, God, who knows what else. There's, and that's the one thing that really annoys me about their fans, is that they are so very thin-skinned. Much as they, and they throw it back, and no, WWE is thin-skinned, we're fine. How dare you say that about us?
And, like, here's the thing is, if you think I hate AEW unfairly, it's not unfair at all. I hate lots of wrestling promotions. I've got a lot of hate for wrestling to go around.
It's like, I love wrestling. I just like it when it's done well. Yep. And if it's not done well, I'm going to say I don't think that was done well. I'm not going to try and find an excuse to go, oh, no, but this was okay. You know what I mean? That's not, especially with us in Australia as we are, we pay for everything. Like I said it before, everything to do with wrestling, we have to pay for in one way, shape or form. There is no, unless you're watching the YouTube, which I don't count that as like proper programming. We pay for everything. If you're watching WWE, you're paying for Foxtel. And you're paying for the WWE network. If you're watching AEW, you're paying for Dynamite and Rampage on Fight, and you're paying for the pay-per-views at a premium to watch on Fight. So as consumers who fork out our hard-earned every month to watch these things, we should be able to say when something is on that we don't like.
Definitely. 100% agree. And then we'll also just mention Liv Morgan defeating Carmella on Extreme Rules. I think the reason that this is worth noting is Extreme Rules went for a couple of hours, three women's matches. AEW, pick up the game. That's all I'm saying. Not that I thought Liv Morgan versus Carmella was a great match, but it shows that they're invested in the women's division even when a title isn't involved.
Liv's good, but...
Yeah, I want to see more out of Liv. I feel like she is still seen as the same as Carmella, and she's not. I think she is good and working hard, and she is put in the same spots as Carmella is, who is a classic diva.
Yeah.
Talking about NXT for a minute, we've had Meltzer is backflipping on reporting about how backstage feel about Joe Gacy in NXT. This is the woke gimmick. We've gone back to saying that WWE is high on it backstage, that they like what he's doing, after initially reporting that the gimmick was thrown out the window immediately. As you can probably guess, I've got a bit of a rant about this one, Todd, so I'll give you the hands on this first.
No, you rant away. You rant away, mate. I'll let you go because you have some strong feelings, so I'll let you rant away.
I want this gimmick to make sense. But it doesn't, right? If you want your gimmick to be this person is over woke and that's a bad thing and you should boo him, fine. That's a gimmick, but make it something. Don't just make it a guy who sits in the middle of the ring and says buzzwords without knowing what context to put them in, right? Presumably half of your audience is on the left. Presumably half of your audience knows what these words mean. If you put someone in the middle of the ring and just have them start spitting out the words in context that does not make sense, it's going to fall apart. It doesn't work. You're trying to get boos because someone is using the words male privilege in safe space. And that's fine if you are putting them in a context where those are phrases that he is using, but he's not. He's just using the phrases male privilege, safe space in sentences where they aren't anything because they think fans will boo those phrases. And I hate it. I'm sick of it. It is completely dumb. There is ways to make this character work. There are phenomenally entertaining ways to make this character work. You know what I want to see? I want to see Joe Gacy get in there against wrestlers of color and declare that he will not fight them. He is going to give them the win because it's what's deserved. Like, that is something that is massively heelish and plays on that type of character without just being this I'm going to throw out buzzwords that I think the fans will boo. I hate it. It's super dumb. If you want to do the gimmick, that's fine, but have someone who knows what the words mean write the segments. Please, please.
So you hate the gimmick. You hate the way it's...
I hate the way that it's being done.
Yes, because he's using the words in the context that aren't right, right?
Yep.
So that makes you mad.
No, that's not what it is, Todd.
But it is. It makes the people that they go, look, that's, he's not even using that right. That's right. That makes them mad, and it makes the other people that don't like those words boo as well. It's sort of like, but he's trying to do a catch-all.
Todd, it doesn't make me mad at Joe Gacy. It makes me mad at the NXT writers. Right? It doesn't make me feel anything about Joe Gacy. I really like Joe Gacy. Dude's a 3-time CZW world champion. I think he's great. I think he's fantastic. And I know that this is not a promo that he would cut, so it makes me hate the writers.
Okay. I come from the thing where, like, I do it myself sometimes. Like, if we're at Yatla, I will immediately call it Yatala.
Yeah.
Because it annoys people. You don't know what you're talking about. That's where I think that they're trying to go a little bit with it as well. But it's also, you've got to think, this is 2 weeks in. So it's still got to blossom and go. The funniest thing was hearing it after a week, having all these, the woke army, like, arc up about it, pretty much proving their point at the start.
That's the thing, is I think if you made a woke heel character that knew what they were talking about, it'd be a fantastic heel character. And as someone who, you know, that's the type of conversations that I have in the real world. I'm all about, you know, leftist rhetoric. And if there was a heel character using those arguments to put themselves in positions of advantage, that'd be excellent. That'd be so cool and so hateable. But it just feels like, and that's, I guess that's the thing. It feels cheap. And I don't want to watch something with... I don't want to watch people get cheap heat. I want to watch people get heat. You know what I mean? When someone comes out and says that this is the greatest city they've ever been in and they get cheers, that doesn't make me care about the character. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you can come out and you can say, and like SCU was the perfect example. They always did, this is the worst city I've ever been in. And it always got the big boo, but they worked around it with specific stuff that they knew would get under the fans' skin. It wasn't just, I hate this place, everyone boo. It was, this is why I hate you. And that made it work. Whereas I feel like the Joe Gacy promos so far have been cheap and they have been relying on buzzwords.
I'm going to give it a little bit, just a little bit. I almost feel like this week's promo was specifically just addressed to those people that were saying that the people backstage didn't like the promo, that the thing is cancelled. Yep. I think that was, this week's was specifically targeted to that. So I want to see where they go from now. See what they actually go with him in a wrestling context from now.
Definitely. I also just, you know, before we cut, I want to say that I think some of why I'm upset about it stems from, this is his second appearance. His first appearance was to come out, use the buzzwords, and then get beat by Cameron Grimes, who is generally not seen as a great wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, it did seem...
But he did just come off that big thing with LA Knight where he won. So, I mean...
Sure, but yeah, I think that storyline, strength in a specific storyline, and you might disagree with me here, but winning in a storyline versus winning a match out of nowhere is different. I think that good guys tend to win matches that are built towards against a bad guy because they get the energy of the crowd behind them and because they've got all that emotion. Whereas when they just come out to wrestle a match, that doesn't necessarily translate. So I feel like that loss was, look at this idiot left wing guy get beat up. And, that was frustrating to me. And I think that combined with the not knowing what he's talking about has just made me frustrated with the gimmick. But again, let's see where it goes. Maybe in 2 weeks' time, I'll be saying that it's the best heel gimmick I've ever seen. We'll see. So with that, yeah, we got plenty more to talk about. So let's go to a quick break and we'll be back with some more that's going on in the world of international wrestling.
You will rise from the ashes of this world.
On Saturday, October 9th. The best in Queensland pro wrestling returns. As Pro Wrestling League presents Revolution 3. Check their Facebook for details.
October 16th. The road to Reawakening 20 begins. As EPW presents Mighty Encounter. Gate 1 Theatre, Claremont Showgrounds. The last stop before Reawakening 20. The Godfather versus the Gunslinger. Plus, all your favorite EPW superstars. EPW Mighty Encounters, October 16th, Gate 1 Theatre, Claremont Showgrounds. Don't you miss it.
Welcome back to Making Chicken Salad. We are going to talk more about what's going on in the wide, wide world of international wrestling. And we'll start with PWG. 3 Minutes has been a huge show. Am I saying it right?
I don't know. I don't know if it's 3 Minutes or Tremendous. I think I might have missed a letter there. I'm not sure.
Anyway, is it Tremendous?
I think so.
So I've got it written here. I don't know.
It might be, and I've just misspelt it. There we Tremendous. Go. Yeah, I misspelt it.
Tremendous.
Sorry, guys.
We've had the vacant PWG World Championships have been claimed in a match. Black Taurus and Flamita were defeated by Brody King and Malachi Black, the Kings of the Black Throne. I am very excited to see Malachi Black back in PWG. What are you thinking, Todd?
It's how funny is that, though? An AEW guy and an ROH guy holding a PWG tag title.
Yeah.
That's I can't say anything about the match because we don't get to see them for until they get their asses in the gear and put them in the DVD form, which is exactly I still right. can't believe that they do that shit. It's so antiquated. It's
ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I love Brody King as well. I think he's an awesome worker. I think the two of them look great together. So I think that's a great tag team. Also on that show, we had a PWG World title defense with Bandido defeating Davey Richards and holding onto that title. We've talked before, Bandido's been a strong champion for them for a while. He took it off Cobb in, end of 2019? Now, there's only been a couple of PWG shows since then, but I think they're doing a good job of, making Bandido look really important. And he's got his next challenger coming up, was the winner of a number one contendership match on the show. Alex Shelley beat Jonathan Gresham for a shot at the title. So Alex Shelley will be the next challenger to Bandido. I think they're doing good work. I think that, all of those people at the top of the card seem strong, seem important. I think it's going to be great.
Does it seem like, though, with... this is just my mindset, I guess. PWG for me was always like, the new young up-and-coming indie stars getting a crack at doing all this stuff, right? And you've got Bandido to just defended it against Davey Richards, who's just come back, sure, but like veteran. Now he's defending it the next show against Alex Shelley, who is like older than like time.
Yeah, I think that the PWG that was isn't the PWG that is. Right.
Okay.
Because when you talk about up and coming PWG, what you're talking about is 5 years ago, 10 years ago, this was the company that the Bucks were going to prove themselves. Kevin Owens was showing up, El Generico was there. These guys are established worldwide names now. right? Mm-hmm. And you can't have the stars of a company grow without the company also growing. That's the other thing to remember, is that that tiny hall that they used to work in, that used to sell out in 5 minutes, they've gotten bigger and bigger and they're still selling out. This is a you know, global level company. So they're going to have established people wrestling. And I think that when they, and I know I've just rambled a lot very quickly without giving you a chance to speak, but when they were that peak indie promotion, there weren't a lot of other indie promotions around. Whereas these days, you know, you can't walk 6 feet without bumping into an indie promoter. There's companies in every state. There's multiple companies in every state. Whereas I think when PWG was that up and coming promotion, it was because Super Dragon and Excalibur were the cream of the crop in terms of promoting a show without money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I just look at it when, like, you look for like Battle of Los Angeles, the 2 day weekends and all of that sort of stuff. There would be all these like guys from really lower indies that are getting a shot. And say even like the Australian guys like Mick Moretti and Paris Silva and Jude London and all those guys getting a crack. And Jonah and Robbie and Adam Brooks, they all sort of got their names made internationally by doing the PWG. They were like the PWG3 in Australia for a while. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's where my mindset was. Like, I was like, it doesn't look like they're looking for the younger guys. Well, maybe it's just the fact that like somewhere like an AEW has just got all the younger guys now in that system.
Let's talk about those younger guys who won that Battle of Los Angeles, your Kenny Omegas and your Adam Coles and your Ricochets and your Kyle O'Reillys and your, you know, Ricochet again. Like, that's huge, huge names now. And yeah. I think that, you know, when you have that kind of clout, if you could book some nobodies who might have a name in a couple of years, or you can book, you know, Alex Shelley, who are you going to book?
Yeah, that's fair enough. That is understandable. But you know where I'm coming from. I was like, if I wanted to see guys that I thought would be main event guys in AEW or WWE in 5 years' time, I'd be like, I will check out this PWG show because there's going to be a couple of guys in there that are unpolished diamonds ready to go. Like Ricochet wasn't Ricochet when he did all that stuff.
No.
You know what I mean? Kenny Omega wasn't Kenny Omega when he did all that stuff. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. The Bucks, there was like there was something on the internet or on Twitter the other day about, it was like the Bucks against Danielson and Roderick Strong, where Danielson and Roderick Strong beat the ever-loving shit out of them to try and get them over. You know what I mean? But, so that's what I'm saying about it. Like, they weren't over until...
But like, let's even look at, let's take 2018. So this is like 3 years ago, right? Let's look at, because this is one that Brooksy is in, right? But you look at the guys who are in here. We got, and Robbie Eagles was in it, Shingo Takagi, Ilya Dragunov, Jonah Rock, Sammy Guevara, Bandido, Flamita, Marco Stunt, Brody King, PCO, Darby Allin, Jeff Cobb. Like, these are now huge names, and that was only 3 years ago. So, like, I also think there's an element of, as much as, you know, it does seem like the people we're looking at are already established now in PWG, the distance that they can go is also much bigger, right? Okay. Because 10 years ago, it would seem like those guys in PWG could not main event a promotion. Whereas now the Bucks and Omega own a promotion, right?
Yeah.
So it would absolutely not surprise me if someone who is, you know, like, let's talk about Aramis or Dragon Lee, who is just on this PWG card. They could be a main eventer in AEW in 2 years' time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I get you. It was just the thing I thought I'd throw out there because it was just...
No,
It was something that immediately hit my... Because I look at Davey Richards, I look at Alex Shelley, and that's like Ring of Honor 2015, 14. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's where I was coming from on it. But yeah, go on. I'm glad to be educated by you, sir.
So speaking of TNA... Impact. is going to debut a new digital media championship. We've heard that it'll be potentially defended under intergender rules. So, you know, any person can challenge for it. We don't know a lot of specifics about it just yet. What do you think of having, as opposed to a TV championship, a digital media championship?
Well, it's just a different way of saying, like, bloody, what's his name's internet championship, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Zack Ryder's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it's Matt Cardona's internet. If he doesn't win the first championship, then there's going to be an issue.
So there's going to be six single elimination matches in the coming weeks, which will lead to six people in a six-person match at the pre-show for Countdown to Glory is the pre-show for Road to Glory or Bound for Glory, sorry. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't know how important that title is going to seem.
Is it going to be defended on like their TV shows? Because it's a digital title. It's a digital media title. So you would think that they would say, okay, we're just going to defend it on special shows that will be up on, or special matches that will be up on our YouTube or our Twitch. Or
it seems like, because they've got Impact's got like the YouTube subscription thing where you can subscribe to YouTube and you get like a special subscribers only wrestling show. And it seems like that's going to have a lot of those title defenses on it, which to me screams, you know, AEW Dark, that kind of thing where we say it doesn't matter, it's not on the product you're giving us. I think that it's going to wind up being another piece of gold that someone's carrying around.
Yeah, just I don't know. For me, Impact is just at the moment. I've no real feelings here, there, or anywhere about it. Like, I heard that Christopher Daniels had gone back there, and I was just like, yeah, okay, if he wants to do it, finish his career up, that's cool.
But he seems to also still be working in AEW because they're, you know, putting his promos in being the Elite, because he seems to be working both. So
yeah. But you know what I mean? It's just I don't care. It sounds terrible. I don't care about Impact at all. That might change if say like Buddy Matthews rocks up, then I'll watch it because I want to watch him. But otherwise, someone says that blah blah signs with Impact, I'm like, okay, yep. Sign with a Ring of Honor. And if you sign with, at the moment, like to me, a Ring of Honor, MLW, that holds more interest to me than what Impact does. I can't sit through an Impact show.
I was literally going to say MLW is the place I'm more excited for at the moment. So let's talk about MLW quickly. We spoke previously about Fightland, which is coming up, which I think is on like Thursday night. That event is happening right now. So when you're listening to this, there will be results available for it. But right now, as we record, we do not know what the results for that show are. But we can talk about a couple of things that are happening on it. So first of all, we've heard that Warhorse will be debuting, which makes me a little bit sad because it means Danhausen's going to be over on Ring of Honor and Warhorse is going to be on MLW. So my favorite tag team in the world is going to be split up. That's devastating. But I think that Warhorse is so much fun, and I think, you know, another strong addition to MLW. They're also having the 2021 Opera Cup. So the first round matches, I believe, have already happened. So that's Davey Richards versus Tom Lawler, Bobby Fish versus Lee Moriarty, TJP versus Alex Shelley, and Calvin Tankman versus Matt Cross. That's going to be a killer tournament. Can't wait to see that. And of course, the main event of that show we talked about the other week is Hammerstone versus Fatu. MLW seems to be strength to strength at the moment.
Yeah, Corp Bauer has done such a good job putting together that roster. And even like with like Conan's help with the Lucha Azteca, the Azteca Underground or whatever it is with Dario Cueto. And do you like the way I said that? Dario Cueto.
I love that. That's not his name anymore. I can't remember what his
name is. No, it's not. Now. I just like saying Cueto. Dario Cueto. Dario Cueto.
A unique opportunity.
And also, what's his name? What's the big guy's name for the heel faction, the mask and the glove?
Why don't I have it in my brain? No, can't remember. The absolute giant.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's got some horror movie Mads Kruger.
Yeah, do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
That's Adam Rose.
Is it really?
That's Adam Rose.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah, so talk about a change in gimmick, a change in look. Like, you, that's why you said, like, oh, he's a monster. I'm like, he's really not. It's Adam Rose.
That's bizarre. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, yeah. There are photos of him, like, a while ago where he'd put on a shitload of muscle.
There you go. I'll have to look into that. That's very interesting. Anyway, so that's the goings on in MLW. Now, on to everyone's favorite segment. You ready with the awful, awful theme tune, Todd? It's time for That's Debatable.
That's Debatable.
Time to play!
That's Debatable.
I worked semi-hard at that tune.
So the way That's Debatable works, if you haven't seen the show before, we'll each have 60 seconds to make an argument, randomly decided who gets which side of the argument, 60 seconds, and then we will put up a vote for who made the more compelling argument. Not necessarily who you agree with, who you think
argued yeah, Barbara.
Better. So, look, it's fine. Todd's got lots of promo experience and I don't, so that's...
Fucking underdogging himself
Just reminding everyone.
See, this is one thing I've noticed, actually. The last couple of fucking shows, and I don't like to swear, but you're getting on me goat now. Last couple of shows, you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. But as soon as, like, on the argument, when he's wrapping it up, he goes, you can either vote for his terrible, trash, disgusting, terrible argument that makes no sense at all, or you could vote for my perfectly reasonable, compelling, some would say almost like a squash match of an argument. But it's up to you guys. I mean, it's up to you to decide whether you want to pick me who is completely right or him who is completely wrong. But again, it's up to you.
I've got to take the votes I can get because, look, the face has to
I'm going
to
start. Yeah, I'm going to start editing the shit out of that.
So our topic, before we start, we've actually come up with, or Todd has come up with, a punishment for the loser of That's Debatable, which is absolutely disgusting and devilish. Do you want to let him in on what that is, Todd?
Well, I am a world-renowned heel, sir. Our punishment for losing That's Debatable is the person that loses this argument has to watch Roads to the Top and our next show, give us a little report, a synopsis of what's going on in the lives of Cody and Brandi Rhodes. So having had to watch the first one because I was interested in seeing what the show was like, it is a quite fiendish argument, a quite fiendish punishment for that. And Lachlan loves it, though. He's so excited. I think he might even throw this argument just so he can watch an episode.
I can't wait to spend half an hour of my life when I...
it's like an hour. It's an hour show, brother.
Yeah, great. Thrilled to hear that.
But you get to see an AEW promo halfway through.
So many things I could be doing, but I can't wait to watch Roads to the Top. Okay, so our topic this week is, have internet wrestling journalists like Meltzer and Keller hurt or helped the industry? Now, real simple, Todd. I am going to flip a coin digitally, and would you like heads or tails?
Heads, mate.
All right, flipping a coin, I'm flipping with Google here, and the result is heads. So what would you like to argue, Todd? Do you think
I'm gonna say hurt. Hurt's a layup for me.
Hurt? You know what? Well, since you won, let's give you the start. 3, 2, 1, take it away.
I think that the internet wrestling journalists like Keller Meltzer have hurt the industry and somewhat, because there are very few surprises nowadays anymore in wrestling. Everyone knows when contracts are up. Everyone knows when somebody's turning up, unless, of course, they keep it a secret because of friendships. But you know when somebody's out of contract. You know when back in the day, people didn't know when Lex Luger was showing up on Monday Nitro because it wasn't as prevalent as what it is today. Those sort of things are sort of robbed from the wrestling public now. People wanting to turn heel, or heel turns happening, or stuff that's been taped and hasn't shown yet. Those things just aren't, you know about them now. You know about them well ahead of time because of these people. And I think that hurts. That's hurt the specialness of wrestling, the specialness of telling stories. It's like saying what's going to happen at the end of a movie during a review. There we go.
All right. And I will take the other side starting now. So this is, I mean, really simple. If there wasn't internet wrestling journalists, there would be internet wrestling reporters with far less information. We would be having Twitter threads from every which way telling us about who's doing what behind the scenes. And I think that it would lead to not only problems where people are reporting wrong information when they get a platform, which Meltzer does a little bit, but not as much, but you also get situations where people want to scoop, so they're going to make unsafe choices and put wrestling companies at risk and wrestlers at risk. I think that if you didn't have people who could reliably report this information, there would be a lot of people doing really not nice things to try and get the information, and I think that is obviously a way that they help. But also, I think that taking some of the surprise out of wrestling is not necessarily the worst thing, because it's making people watch the product. And if they didn't make people watch the product by saying this exciting thing's going to happen, there'd be less viewers and we'd have less wrestling. There we go. 1 minute on the dot. So
I could retort that so well, but it's so good.
I know you could. So with that, everyone, jump on our social medias. So that's Todd. Do you want to give out the social media handles?
At Wrestle Radio AU on Instagram and on the Twitter, and just Wrestle Radio Australia on Facebook.
Fantastic. So with that, let's move into emphasizing once again, please go and vote for who you thought made the more compelling case, not who you agree with,
Barbara.
Who you think better argument.
Barbara.
For those of you that don't know, for the user don't know, Barbara on the last, it was the last one, I think, was just like, I agree with what Lachlan said, but Todd made the better argument. I'm like, what way is that? Which way is that going?
Absolute legend of the Queensland wrestling scene, Barb.
And congratulations to Ed, too, by the way, just quietly. Ed retired this week from the Fireys. Congratulations, mate. Well done. Have a rest. Have everyone stop bothering me. So
with that, let's jump over to the main event, making chicken salad, making chicken shit. Todd, who was making chicken shit for you this week?
I'm trying to think. Oh, it's got to be the rate snap thing. Just the fact that they didn't pay it off or explain it at all. Maybe they'll explain it in a couple of weeks, but that was... For me, that was this shape. And I sent you a message yesterday about this, and I might be the only one here, but I feel like the bloom is already off the rose on Bryan Danielson. Like, just coming out for that match at Rampage, he just felt like another member of the roster. He doesn't, like, they seem to have, it's probably their own prerogative. Like, Daniel probably wants to wrestle as much as possible. I keep calling him Daniel because it's... Bryan probably wants to wrestle as much as possible because he hasn't been able to wrestle regularly for ages, and that's all good. But you look at the way Punk is doing things, and they might be overkilling it somewhat with Punk with promos and all of that sort of stuff, but he is keeping his matches so they're almost like special. And that's for me, that's a bit, it just felt very meh. And also another chicken shit, splitting up the New Day. You just put them back together. It was all happy times, and then you switch brands again. I don't understand that at all. Unless you're going to still keep them somewhat interacting, I don't understand why you would do that, because it was working. Fans were buzzing over it. You were getting good reviews about this stuff happening. You had a ready-made feud thing with the Hurt Business, and now that the Hurt Business are back together, because you listen to the fans and you said, that said, why the hell did you break up the Hurt Business? So they put them back together. You have the New Day. That's a ready-made. That's like the Wyatt's Shield. You know what I mean? That was ready to go, and you've ruined it. So that's that. There we go, mate. There's a couple of chicken shits.
All right. Chicken shit for me.
Also, COVID lockdowns. Fucking chicken shit.
COVID lockdowns, chicken shit.
I should have been working for PWA yesterday, and because of friggin' COVID lockdowns, or well, not COVID lockdowns, but just threatening lockdowns. Anyway, that's not that I'm anti-lockdown, just anti-lockdown during when I'm supposed to be working for the one of the best promotions in the country.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly right. So I, for Chicken Shit this week, is the main event of AEW Rampage, making a hair versus hair match feel totally unimportant. We didn't even talk about it on this episode because it didn't matter, right? There was Jack Evans versus Orange Cassidy in a hair versus hair match. Orange Cassidy got the win. There was, you know, a huge amount of interference from the outside. It felt like an absolute waste of time. And again, I'm someone who is really invested in lucha. The idea of a wager match, putting your hair on the line or putting your mask on the line is really, really important. And AEW made it something throwaway. And that's always going to piss me off. So that's my chicken shit for the week. Jumping to my chicken salad, mine is a little bit older. It didn't actually happen in, you know, technically the lead up to this episode because we had that sneaky episode last time. But I've been going back and watching the G1 Climax matches. And, oh boy, G1's good this year. A couple of really great matches that have been is there was Okada versus Tanahashi. When is that match not good? Right? That is always a great match. But the standout for me for this G1 so far has been Takagi. Shingo Takagi had an amazing match against Zack Sabre Jr. and an incredible match against Tomohiro Ishii. If you can only watch one, I would say check out that day one card where there was the Takagi Ishii match. Just superb. Really, really good classic New Japan stuff. Two big meaty men slap and meat. Loved it.
What makes you think that this year's, because this year's G1 just doesn't feel big? Is it because of the whole, like, a lot of the sort of like a split roster because a lot of them are in America, or if it's
I think so. I think that if, you know, there's definitely guys who would be part of that G1 bracket who just aren't. Like, I think it's still a good bracket, but I think that if they'd had access to all of the, you know, all of the people that they would have in that bracket, it'd be very different. Because
also Naito doing his knee didn't help matters either.
Did not help at all. But yeah, if you look at, you know, who's in the blocks, it's like Zack Sabre Jr. is a big name. Kenta, Ibushi, Takagi, Ishii, all in block one. If you have their matches with Naito, that's much bigger, right? And then B block, like, I love Jeff Cobb, and we've got Okada and Tanahashi. But I think that guys like Chase Owens, guys like Goto and Tama Tonga and Tai Chi, and even Sonata and Evil, they don't feel like the big names that make a G1 climax, right?
I will argue with you on one thing, because I think Tama Tonga has been having a low-key, really good tournament.
Hasn't he only won like one match?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. I'm just saying, like, it's not a win or lose thing. I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. These matches have been really good. I'm an unabashed fan of Tama Tonga. I think they should have really pushed him as a single a long time ago, but it's obviously was never in the plans.
And you love Tonga Loa as well in A Block? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I. I'll be honest. I'll be honest with you. I liked when he was in NXT back in the day. I was like, this kid's got something. They should be doing something with him. And the best thing that happened to him was for him to go to New Japan and team up with his brother, because at least he's been given a bit more of a thing. He's got a lot of potential, that kid. He's only young too, I think. It's hard to tell with the Islanders how old they are, though.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I think that part of it for me is that I feel like the blocks are a little bit top heavy, so we'll get a couple of huge matches out of them. You know, like B block, you've got Okada, Tanahashi, Cobb, and any matches with those three feel big. And then A block, you've got Ibushi and Takagi and Zack Sabre, and any with those three is going to feel really big, and Kenta. But kind of anyone else, it doesn't feel like a big match. It feels like a filler match. Whereas historically, I think that, you know, even if you look back to last year, which was a bit of a weird one, it didn't feel like there was a lot of filler. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. yeah, there's a lot too because Ospreay's not there and it's a whole. Yeah, he's still parading around with the belt and all that deal. Yeah.
But like, if I just bring up last year's, Block A is Ibushi, Ospreay, White, Okada, Cobb, Ishii, Takagi, Suzuki, Takahashi, all in one block. And then Block B is Sonata, Evil, Naito, Kenta, Sabre Jr., Goto, Tanahashi, Juice Robinson. Like, huge. Huge the whole way down. Whereas it feels like this year they just, for one reason or another, don't have a lot of those big names there.
Oh, yeah. So, and congratulations to Tony Storm and Juice Robinson. Got engaged this week.
Congratulations. Yep.
So, that's awesome, a chicken salad. To say.
There we go.
Also, a chicken salad
from you, Todd.
Yeah, chicken salad for me. If you don't watch it, I very much do encourage you to watch this week's NXT UK with Charlie Dempsey. He had his debut match on there. Charlie Dempsey is William Regal's son. So it's he's got that very old school mat wrestling British style. I absolutely loved that match. Like, if you get a chance, watch it. Watching him, I'm like, in a couple of years, I can see him, if he wanted to, go to a Japan, and him and Zack Sabre Jr. would tear shit up, because he's very much reminds me of Zack Sabre Jr. in the way that he works. So yeah, I was very, very impressed with his debut outing, and it's very weird because he looks like William Regal but has an American accent. It's very strange.
See, it's always good, Todd, when I know what your chicken salad's going to be, because I get a message midweek saying, hey, go watch this.
Yeah, so, yeah. Because it literally was one of those things where it was like halfway through the match, I'm like, this is a really good match.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, obviously Son of William Regal's going to have a lot of knowledge that he can go and grab there. And I think that it's really great to see, you know, a young guy doing that well.
Mm. And before anyone complains, William Regal actually said he didn't want him using his name because he didn't want that pressure on him. So there we go. That's why he's Charlie Dempsey.
Fantastic. There you go. Awesome. So with that, we'll wrap this episode up. If you haven't already, please do make sure you subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. It's free. Hit that subscribe button. Especially if you're going by Apple Podcasts, it's a massive thing if you can give a rating and review, especially if you hit that 5 stars. It just helps us spread out to all of those other platforms, which is, you know, really beneficial to get us into new ears. There's a lot going on Wrestle Radio Australia at the moment. There was another episode this week with, I'm trying to remember who it was. Hang on.
Kaz Jordan, sir.
Kaz Jordan, that's right.
You could have asked me. I was there.
Yeah, but... I had it because I'm mid-podcast, so I just opened up the podcast app. So that's what I'm listening to at the moment. So thank you for listening to Wrestle Radio, to Making Chicken Salad, but also listen to the main Wrestle Radio Australia feed, because there's some awesome interviews on there that Todd does.
We've got Dean and Delta Brady coming up this week on the show. So
fantastic. So if you want to keep an ear out for that.
Yes.
We mentioned before all of the platforms that you can follow Wrestle Radio Australia on. Wrestle Radio Australia on Facebook. I think you said it was WRA.
No, Wrestle Radio AU. Wrestle Radio AU on Twitter and Instagram.
I'll remember those socials one of these days, Todd.
How do they follow you, mate, on the socials if they want to?
So on Twitter, I'm NMBC666, just to make it painful. So I'm thinking of trying to get a hold of a Lachlan Albert to get onto there. But mostly, if you keep an eye on Heat Sheet, we do write-ups for what's going on in the Queensland wrestling scene. So follow along there. And you know what? Another plug, twitch.tv/VaultGamesLive, where I do some board game and tabletop streams.
I was going to ask you about that. I was like, why don't you plug that as well? Plug your shit, brother.
Well, I heard Wrestle Radio Australia on that last night, so let's give
it a try. Oh, did you? Yeah, I did. I'm on Twitter at Beast Eastman if you want to hear old man reviews and get angry about my criticisms. So, yeah.
Awesome. So with that, thank you as always, Todd, for joining me. I've been Lachlan Albert. Have a good one.